Accession number 32738, Reel 1.
Martin Bell, Reel 2. Could I now ask you, if we talk about war photography, and first of all about photojournalists, there is this distinction, isn't there, I believe, between photojournalists, war photographers, combat photographers. Well, what would you make of all this?
If you're talking about people who take the images of war, there are really two sorts. There are the still photographers who sometimes travel with military units and sometimes unilaterally, snappers as we call them, and there are the television people. They're different skills, and it's much easier for the television people because, first of all, they can work with sound. They have a soundtrack. Then they can zoom. They can pan, and they can stand further off the action. Whereas the Robert Kappas of this world, and I suppose he was the most famous, they have to be really close in, which is why the casualties among them are quite high, and why, in my view, they attract a fair number of nutters to the profession because nobody's sane will do it.
Yes, the. Talking to Don McCullen, who considers himself, you know, and I think rightly, a photojournalist, someone who tells a story by his photographs. How would you sort of assess the role of these people in reporting war?
I think the role of the photojournalist is absolutely central. I think a single striking still image in black and white, it's just there for you to look at as long as you look at it, and it has its force from that. Whereas television sort of switches itself off and it goes on to another shot in a sequence. I think there's space for them both, but I would think the more eloquent of the two is usually, you know, the right still photograph in the right place by the right photographer. But it's very, very hard to do. And if you look at some of the very best and most compelling of still pictures taken of wars, they are always after the event. They're after the storm, the soldiers in Vietnam after the fight. It's very difficult to take a good combat picture as a still photographer. I think it's relatively easier for the television boys.
How would you assess the work of Don McCullen in this respect?
I would say that Don McCullen is the outstanding photojournalist of my time. And I know no one who's come since who surpassed him. He was very cool, he was technically brilliant, extremely, extremely brave. There's something somber about the best of his pictures, which really need no commentary at all. So I think he was probably as good as it got. And I fully understand that he moved away from it later in his life, but we viewers or voyeurs, whichever we are, we lost something when he went. There are some very good practitioners since as well.
Who would you suggest as a good practitioner today?
There are a lot. John Jones, James Nachtway of Newsweek is one. There was a whole gang of them in the Balkan Wars who went around together. Ron Haviv, who got some amazing pictures of Serb paramilitaries in action. He was so much threatened when he came back to the war zone, he had to adopt a different name. There are quite a few of them about, and it's an extremely dangerous, not to say stupid way to earn a living, because you can no longer just do as we used to, which is rock around. And I mean, I've actually been across front lines in a single day from one side to the other. But ever since 9/11 and the targeting, especially of Western journalists, and kidnapping, hostage taking, that is no longer possible. And therefore the quality of photography of war has diminished simply because the access is no longer there. We are left journalists, as shall we say, in the Gaza conflict until just at the very end. They were parked on what John Snow called the Hill of Shame, sort of a kilometre from the border. You don't know what's going on. They're driven back into what I call rooftop journalism, green zones, fortified compounds, hotel roofs, hotels, television stations. There's no longer that sense of being out in the thick of things that we used to have. and of course that Don McCullin exemplified. I mean, to his cost, he was very badly wounded, I think, in Cambodia.
And El Salvador, I think, as well, later on.
El Salvador was probably the last of the wars that I saw Don in. I mean, he excelled in that. But that was the sort of old-fashioned war in which you could attach yourself to one side or the other and get some remarkable images. Well, those days are gone. I mean, nobody, or just about no one, is going to go and get embedded with the Taliban. And if you get embedded with one of the Western forces, you get some terrific, what I would call, bang-bang. But you don't see very much from the Afghan point of view. And it tends to come over a little bit like an army recruiting photograph. You know, the possibilities that we had, I think, went away at about 9/11.
Do you remember any occasion when you were with Don McCullin in the field? I wonder if there's anything you could, you know, tell us about working.
No, it's too long ago. I have vague memories of him in El Salvador. He was very companionable and decent. I mean, not all journalists are the nicest people, to put it mildly. They're a very competitive gang, but Don would go out of his way to be helpful and decent. Mm.
Yes, while we're on the subject, and this is going off a little bit, you obviously work, when you did your BBC work all over, you know, these different war zones, you worked with different cameramen, didn't you? Mm. What is the relationship between somebody like yourself, a senior war correspondent, which I would think you were for a long time during that part of your career, and your various photographers? Would it have been one of equality, or?
I think when I started, it was a bit sort of officers and other ranks. It was a bit like Blackadder and Baldrick, you know. That all changed. It changed as we got to depend more and more on the quality of the camera work. And, of course, the numbers came down. I mean, very soon you dropped the sound man that we used to have. And you just had this one guy. And girls later on, they came into it. And if you're risking your life on a daily basis together as a team of two or three, then you need somebody... You need to love the guy, actually. It's that kind of bond. It's a very intimate bond of affection and mutual trust. And there is no one is senior to the other. This developed quite naturally. Towards the end of my career, I would only work with people I loved. And believe me, if you'd seen my big South African cameraman, there was nothing erotic about it at all. He was just an admirable bloke. And what I miss, the only thing I miss about it now is I miss the comradeship. Because you don't exactly have that. You certainly don't have it in politics. But that was terrific.
Yes, you were talking earlier, Martin, about the importance of a strong image. And one that I have, which is associated with you, is of Almici.
Oh, yes, yes.
I wonder, you know, did you direct that shot?
No, I was that was being taken, I was driver that day. I was maneuvering the armoured vehicle in some way. But the cameraman went in and he got it. He said, you better come indoors and take a look at this. No, the trick is, but you then have to, then you get caught up in the BBC's or any broadcaster's good taste guidelines. This was a scene inside a cellar of a house where a fan had been driven into the cellar. And the house had been burned down around them, and we came in on this. Well, and so what do you show and what do you cut out? We just showed very, very wide shots, with the exception of one burned clenched fist, and I got away with that. But that's in the editing. But the cameraman is not going to take shots he knows you're not going to be able to use. It's a very fine line, and what I used to do sometimes was do the edit as I thought we could get away with it, and then sling in a few gash wide shots on the end, which they could replace other shots with if they wanted. But you don't, in those days you were, and there wasn't much in the way of rolling news, you lobbed it in 10 minutes before the programme started, so they couldn't fiddle with it. They had the choice either of running it or of dropping it, and they usually ran it.
And do you think things have changed since then?
I think they've gone backwards. I think the broadcasters have become more and more restrictive about what they show. And I think, well, I said at the time, and I think it's a big mistake, because this also tends to make war seen as an acceptable way of settling differences, because you don't see the bloodshed, you don't see the suffering. and I know there's an argument that is that the people can take only so much, but if you don't show any of it, then you're glorifying the military enterprise.
Well, Martin, thank you very much indeed for that.
When is this exhibition going to be, do you know?